Welcome to the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living. It's great to see everybody here today. Can you believe it's April?
No.
Wow. I mean, I'm glad for the sun to come back, but April, wow. And if we're in April and we haven't had Easter yet, that means that we know that Easter is quickly approaching. Easter is the main event in most Christian theology. Easter is the time when most of Christianity, which represents about 2.1 billion of the 7.2 billion people on this planet. So that's a little over 30% of the people on the planet identify themselves as Christian. And the main tenets of Christianity, particularly in relation to Easter, is that God sent his only Son to earth to die on the cross in atonement for our sins. And that man and God have been separated since the fall, since the Garden of Eden. This fits in very nicely with the pagan traditions, because with all of this crucifixion and dying and resurrection and all this, there is a message of transformation and renewal. And in the pagan traditions, this is the time where the symbols are eggs. They are, rabbits, symbols of fertility, renewal. So that all fits together nicely. Now, my own personal beliefs don't necessarily align with those completely. I won't say, that I disagree with it by any stretch. But, I do not personally believe that God and man have ever been apart. I think that we are all expressions of God, and we've never been separated. We have the appearance of that separation at times, but we have never truly been separate. I also don't believe that we were born in any kind of original sin, that we were not flawed from the very beginning. I think that we are perfect and whole and complete, that divine creator that made all of everything didn't make a mistake with us, that we are perfect as we are. But the underlying message, the underlying theme of transformation and renewal, I absolutely believe in. I absolutely believe that each and every one of us have within us the capacity to transform and to be renewed. And that's why the title of my talk today is Transformation and Renewal. And my three main points are that we are powerful far beyond anything that we've ever imagined. And number two, Ernest Holmes wrote through dramatic periods of time, and yet he held to the principles that he taught. And thirdly, the world has never needed our teaching more than it does today. Okay, first of all, we are powerful far beyond anything that we have imagined. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he states that you will be transformed by the renewing of your own minds. You will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what did Paul mean by that? You'll be transformed by the renewing of your minds. I thought about this a lot this week, and I came up with what I think today would be a good translation of that. Change your thinking, change your life. We have that capacity for change. We have the capacity for transformation and renewal within each and every one of us. A colleague of mine relayed a story, and I'm going to tell you some secrets here. Naomi, you can't say anything. But as a counselor, sometimes we give assignments to the people that come to us. And an assignment that can be particularly effective is to ask the person that comes to you to fill out a gratitude list. And if you're focused on what you're thankful for, it's really kind of hard to be immersed in the things that you find problems with. But what this guy related to me is he had given one of his clients a complaint list. He says, okay, I want you to go home and fill out a complaint list. Everything that's under your skin right now. And I thought, well, that's unusual. But he followed directions and he went home and filled out his complaint list. So the next time he met with his pastor, he had his complaint list and they had their meeting and the list never came up. And finally, at the end of the meeting, he said, well, I brought my complaint list. What do you want me to do with that? He said, take it home and file it. Okay, so he took his complaint list home. So they got together again another week or so, and pastor said, well, how are you doing? He said, oh, great. He said, you know, that complaint list thing must have really worked. He said, things have really changed. A lot of things are going better. You know, the boss that was all over me, you know, he's let up quite a bit. My daughter that was misbehaving, she seems to be doing a lot better. And the missus and I are getting along better than we have in a long time. He says, okay, what I want you to do now is go home and write your gratitude list. So then he filled out his gratitude list. They met again a few days later. He had his gratitude list and says, well, do you want to see my gratitude list? He said, no, I don't care about it. He says, just take it home and file it. What? So he went home with his gratitude list and he filed it. He was going to file it right next to the complaint list and he looked at it and they were eerily similar. The daughter they kind of had problems with, that was quite a bit better now, you know. He and his wife were getting along a lot better than they had. The boss that was all over him, he seemed to have mellowed out. The list had so many common things to it. It dawned on him. They didn't change. I'm the one that changed. The way I look at the world changed. It's my worldview that changed. We all have that capacity for change within us. There is an Ojibwe Indian saying, sometimes I go about pitying myself, and all the while I am being carried across the sky by beautiful clouds. Another example, the silkworm. I didn't know until I Googled it and saw a picture of a silkworm. I mean, they are not really attractive things. I mean, yucko. And yet this less than attractive creation of God creates this magnificent, beautiful thing to all of us, that it's so wonderful to all of us in silk. It makes it out of its own body and it can't help it. And we are just like the silkworm. Sometimes we feel that we are less than beautiful, but we cannot help but manufacture beauty out of ourselves. Poet Galway Connell wrote, sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness until it flowers again from within. We have to see our own inner beauty. We can change our attitude. We can change how we look at things. One of my favorite books, A Courage to Change, had a passage. There are many areas of my life that I cannot change. What I can change is my attitude. Today, I can accept my life as it is. I can be grateful and happy here and now with what I have. Jesus was a real radical. I mean, he was out there. He said things like, I am God. Well, the people of that era, I mean, that's no different than today. If you walk around out here saying, I am God, people are going to think, oh. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen God. He claimed his own divinity, and he wasn't ashamed of it. He wasn't afraid of it. He claimed his own divinity. Yes, those were radical statements, but it took radical statements at that time to get people's attention. Not much different than today. We all have a divine purpose. Every one of us. has a divine purpose. Everything in nature, everything in the universe has a divine purpose. There aren't any accidents. There are no mistakes. Everything has a divine purpose. There is a little tiny fish. It's called the fang blenny. It's just been recently discovered, the fang blenny. It lives in tropical waters. It's not much of a fish, really. It's about 2 inches long. It's not pretty, you know, like a tropical, beautiful ocean fish or anything. It's just a real simple little thing, the fang blenny. Well, where it gets its name is it's got these big old canine teeth. And they've discovered, I mean, this is a new discovery of this fish, but what they have also discovered now is that the way this little fish stays alive is that when the predators come, the big prey fish come to feed on the fang blenny, it turns around and bites them with these big old fangs, and it injects an opiate into these fish. Yeah. And so the big fish goes into, I can't say it, it goes into I don't care land. And it swims away without eating the fang blenny. Which is a great story in itself, but it gets even better. Because what they've discovered now is that the opiate that's in the venom of the fang blenny isn't addictive. It's a powerful opiate. But see, if it was addictive, you'd have all the big fish. They'd get together every Friday and say, oh, let's go out for a few fang blennies. But it's not addictive. And what that means for us, and we don't know yet, science hasn't advanced far enough yet, but that we may have stumbled on a magnificent painkiller that's not addictive. There is a purpose even for the little fang blenny. And if the divine creative force of the universe could put together a purpose for the fang blenny, rest assured that divine creative force has a plan for you and has a purpose for you. Each one of us is here for a reason. Fang blenny. So how do we know what our divine purpose is? And we can't, there isn't enough time to get into all of that today, but just rest assured you can do so by going within. Said that Holmes wrote through dramatic periods of time, and yet he held on to the principles that he taught. I mean, Holmes wrote through the Great Depression. Unemployment was in excess of 25%. Men all over were out of work. People didn't have the necessities for life. And yet Holmes preached about abundance and prosperity. Holmes preached that there is enough for everyone. Holmes wrote and taught through World War II. Would have been easy to fall into the trap of hating Hitler and hating Mussolini. But no. Holmes stuck to the absolute truths that he taught. He preached and he taught that conscious attention to love spreads love. Nothing has changed. We are here today for exactly the same reason. Conscious attention to love spreads love. We are on the borderland of a new experience. We are awakening to our awareness of the presence of God. Again, we are awakening to our awareness of the presence of God. If you have not gifted yourself with attending centering prayer, I would really invite you to do that. That is an amazing 1 or 2 hours, your choice. You can either attend the first half or you can attend both halves. It's the first and third Saturday of each month right here. It's no charge. What an experience. And in that experience, we're given the opportunity to stand and to become aware of that divine presence in our lives, in who we are. We are awakening to our awareness of the presence of God. Now, when we try to direct our lives, when we try to get in and run everything ourselves, doesn't work as well. When we think that we are running all of everything, when we let that ego out, it doesn't turn out so well. We get tired and we get bogged down. And I just sat, I mean, this took 2 minutes or less to write. I just wrote down all of the things, the way we feel and the way we are when we try to direct everything in our lives. I'm worn out. I'm played out. I'm bushed. I'm exhausted, frazzled, bone weary, dead tired. I'm on my last leg. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm about to come unglued. And when we try to direct everything, that's how we end up feeling. But there's an answer to it, and it's really easy. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson taught us about it, getting our bloated nothingness out of the way. And Ernest Holmes said it best, when it is only as we allow the divine current to flow through us on and out that we really express life. I quoted that for years during the collection here, allowing the divine current to flow through us on and out. But it's not just money. It's not just it's everything that we do. When we step back and we open ourselves up to the divine current, everything goes so much easier. That crooked road gets straight. There's a gentle wind behind our back. No, it's not anything great, earth-shattering. Well, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. It's just a gentle nudge that makes our lives easier, more fulfilling, more filled with meaning. When we open ourselves to that awareness of the presence of God, then we become more fulfilled, more at peace. We experience more serenity, more confidence, and poise. And without this awareness, loneliness and fear and anxiety set in. We try to fill this loneliness with money. You know, how much can I earn? With popularity, oh, I just want people to like me. With pleasure, whether it's travel or, you know, how many toys can I collect? Where can I go? How big a fancy vacation home do I have? Or we fill it with drugs, alcohol, or other people. Oh, if she'd only love me, then I would be fulfilled. And none of that works. The only thing that can work is when we allow the divine current to flow through us. Third point, the world has never needed our teaching more than it does right now. Advancement is often preceded by chaos. It is out of the pain and the misery, the chaos, that we take the big steps. So it behooves us to embrace the chaos, to embrace those things that feel uncomfortable in life. We can, oh, that's not so good. But if we face those, when that pain comes and we look at it, we can take the advancement. The central message of Jesus was one of hope to all men. And our message is the same. Ours is a message of hope, but it's for today, not 2,000 years ago. Our message is that you are an expression of God, each one of you, and you are perfect exactly as you are. God made you. God is expressing through you. You have God stuff in you. And God is not broken. God is not faulty. And therefore, you are not broken. You are not faulty. You may think you are. You may judge yourself to be, but the truth is that you are made in that exact image and likeness of the divine. The thing that I want everyone to take away today, we have been given a tremendous gift. The teachings of Science of Mind are more relevant than ever, and it is time for us to embrace with great zeal, with vim and vigor, the significance of our teaching in a larger way. We are poised with the possibility to bring gladness to the world because our philosophy is simple and straightforward. We have a practical methodology that can be used by anyone, and it has been used by millions. Whether they're in our philosophy or not, the same principles work. But it's a very personal journey. I can't take it for you. No one can. Our final emancipation will be written by our own hand. And that's not bad news. You can choose now. Your absolute conviction generates the power. Your love awakens greater impulse of love. And love points the way. And so with our awareness of our own inherent divinity and our own mission of love, I would ask my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in holding our congregation in love and light. To just simply know that as we live and move and navigate this very real earthly plane, that we are expressions of the Most High. And that as we face the challenges of life, the appearance of lack and limitation, the appearance of health concerns, the appearance of separation, separation from God and separation from one another, that behind these appearances, a truth, a capital T truth, and that is that each one of us are perfect in every way. That each one of us is blessed. We are safe and secure. We have enough to eat. That behind the appearance of disease is that pattern of perfection. Doesn't mean that we all are going to be perfect and live forever. It means that our lives are perfect, that our body temples are perfectly engineered to do exactly what they're supposed to do right here and right now. And that as we learn the lessons from health, from scarcity, from separation from God, that we become more, more like God. And so we just give thanks. I give thanks now for each and every person that is here today, mirroring back to me the qualities of God. I give thanks for my awareness of the presence of God in my life. And now I release these words to the working of law, a law that always responds, yes. I let it go, I let it be. And so it is.